Cue the mic. All right, good evening, everyone. Good to be with you. Good to see you all. And let's call this meeting to order at 17:29. And with that, we always start with... Thank you. Good to see you, buddy. As always, we start with a moment of silence. Thank you. Very well, guys. I don't think I've got any opening remarks. Do I have a motion to consider or approve the agenda? And remember, agenda items may not be considered in sequence. This agenda is subject to change. Change may include addition or deletion of items, including executive sessions. Do I have a motion to approve the agenda?
Motion.
I got a motion. Do I got a second?
Okay.
I got a second. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstention? Seeing none. Zoom?
There's nobody on Zoom for the board.
Okay. All right.
Stacy's there, but she's not voting.
Yep. Correct. All right. Cool. No, yours is up. You're right over there, buddy. All right. Cool. We do have one special guest with us, Dennis. Good seeing you again. Glad you were with us on Friday. And... we will, there's an opportunity for public comment, but you may want to chat then and just kind of talk about a couple of things or wait a few moments and as we get into organizational issues on the backside or maybe when we get into Leslie's marketing and communications piece, which is a committee report a little further down in the agenda. So I'll leave that to you. Very well, and let it recognize we've got... Stacy on Zoom, Verity was there, and don't know if Len is on as of yet, and the rest of the folks are here. Good seeing everyone.
Scott, you have Katie Stark now.
Oh, Katie's on. Cool. Yes. All right, I'll make the notes. On the attendance sheet via Zoom and all that. All right, guys, minutes have been published and put forward. I think everybody's seen those. Any additions, changes, corrections to the minutes as presented? All right, seeing none, do I have a motion to approve the minutes as presented?
Motion.
I got a motion, do I have a second? Kevin got a second. I'm sorry, Chris, thanks. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Abstentions? Zoom? Katie, can you
She's
hear me?
She's good to go.
All right.
Thumbs up.
All right, good. All right, guys, wonderful. Moving along. Again, public comment period. Public comment period. Dennis, again, don't know if you want to chat now or wait till we get to Leslie's... communications committee, because she's got some things and it might be an opportunity for you to weigh in on a couple of things that you're thinking about.
I'll defer.
Okay. All right. Anyone else? Nobody from the public is here. Public comment period is closed. Thank you. Moving on.
James.
Does anybody need hard copy of the reports? Because I nailed them out the other day. If you need a hard copy, I've got it. High level?
Yep.
Start of the month at between the two accounts, checking account had 56.72, 74 in it. Savings account had 25.580.53. The activity for the month of August was deposit from the school for the next 12 to 13 months worth of mortgage and interest payments of $299,376 plus $5.42 of interest at that period of time. The outgoing was the $24,948 for the two loans. So at the end of August, 8/31, you have no change in the checking account for 56.72.74, and the savings account as it stood on 8/31 was $300,013.95. I also included in the document I sent out the other day, it was the most recent activity for the checking account and savings account. There's been no activity in the checking account, and the savings account has the withdrawal on the 3rd, I think, or 1st of September for the next loan payment. And a deposit will be made probably tomorrow for $500 for myself for a board donation into the checking account.
Wonderful. Thank you. So everything's tracking, guys. We're in great shape there with the WSFS account, and the draws are going off accordingly, so that's, like, good. It was a little bumpy a couple years ago and all that sort, but everything looks the way it should be. Do I have any questions, comments on Treasurer's report and the outside account? Right, seeing none. Zoom, Katie, anything for her?
Yeah.
Cool. All right, wonderful. Jim, thank you.
Yep.
Do we need to do a motion to approve Treasurer's report? We have in the past, and then we haven't. All right, then I guess I better get a motion to approve the Treasurer's report is submitted.
Motion.
All right, I got a motion. Do I have a second?
Good.
I got a second. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Abstentions? Seeing none, passed. Thank you. All righty. Moving to the next item on our agenda, guys, the finance report. So, Pat, we're to you, sir.
Okay, so month ending in August, we are 17% through the fiscal year 21 budget. State appropriations is based on 441 cadets on the May 1st unit count date. We have received 85% of our revenue, which equals $3,920,000 to this time. Just a note, our current unit count, I'll talk about this in the Commandant's report, is 462. Local funds from school districts is estimated at $1,171,000. I will let you know we are tracking to receive more based on our current enrollment. So that will rise over time. Other state funds that have include state funds carryover from last year, and I give you that number at $47,000. We have also received $90,000 of our preliminary allocation for fiscal year 21 tech block, ed sustainment fund, 100% of minor cap improvement, and 50% of our educational opportunity grant opportunity fund. And I included the numbers down there for you to see how much that is worth. We've also received 83% of our transportation funds, which is of $448,000. It equals about $372,000.
Hey, Pat, and what's the total again for transportation this year? About five something?
570.
570.
Yeah, so it's going to be a bigger hit this year. And that's only because of the 11th bus we had there.
Yep. And you guys remember, like, two board meetings ago, we added that additional bus, right? Okay.
Is that working out?
Say again?
Is that doing...
Well, yes, because the area well. Where it's coming from, we had a total of 72 cadets assigned to that area. And, of course, you know, we had to plan for if we're going to open a full, so that's when we had to have two come down from there. So, expenditures for the month of August, it was $352,000, $275,000. Of course, a majority of that was our mortgage and interest payment that we took out of our account, deposited in our WSFS account for the year. That's $299,376. We also have other expenditures, include our starter purchases, educational consultants, instructional supplies, student support supplies, office supplies. All the other things come in there equals $13,752. Building and grounds, $11,293. You know, just to let you know, a lot of the building grounds, that'll start coming down. A lot of that was... and our prep for graduation, prep for induction day, mulch, and all the different things come in here. Plus, grass cutting will start going down too as the weather gets cooler. Utilities and insurance, and that's just partial insurance, $6,110. Our total insurance for this year is $45,000. And no, Scott, I got a check on why it went up so much.
Right.
So.
Well, the expectation is, right, so this is our property casualty stuff through L&W. The expectation is that we really over the last couple of years, our P&C stuff was about $34,000 bucks, and we've added about 10. Some thought is that it's because we picked up so much more marine equipment and gear and just stuff, but I've asked Pat to take a look and just make sure that makes sense, as opposed to maybe we need to be looking at somebody else to offer a property casualty. So anyway, about $45K will be the nut this year for P&C.
Of course, every month we have the copier payment of $1,200. We have four of them we rent. Food, of course, is $4,398. IT services, and of course, instructional related services. That is pretty much the bulk of the $352,000 spent in August. So, again, I will tell you, in trending for the month of September, we're going to have a lot more coming out. Opening in hybrid, there's a lot of cost to it that we're now some of that will come when I talk about the federal grant, but there is a lot of cost, a lot of money we've been buying things, especially cleaning supplies, disinfectant, you know, devices, and just it's just a constant thing. Technology wise, just to give you a for instance, in our AP class, computer science, we had tablets. Well, we could always have the kids share in the classroom. Can't share anymore. So just to get you an idea that now we have to buy individual, we could actually buy a classroom set and they could use it. We can't do that anymore. We have to buy the full thing. So that just little things like that is causing our costs to go up. So I have a better idea than next meeting.
Hey, Pat, real quick, I just got a text. Verity in the waiting room.
Yes, she is. Sorry, Verity. She's in now.
All right. Verity, you hear us?
I can. Hey, guys. Sorry.
All right. Hey, man, no worries.
Sorry, Verity.
No worries, Pat.
All right, so cool. We're in expenditures on the finance report. Does Pat, how are we on getting PPE and equipment and, you know, sanitizer? Are there any delays? Are there any kind of longer, like we should be ordering because we ain't going to get it like our laptops till December? Any of those issues?
No. We're pretty good with the PPE. You know, we, besides the cleaner and hand sanitizer, we have a lot in stock. And also there are some came out today. I have to talk to Highmark. They're donating it. And so I'm going to make contact with them because any more wipes and hand sanitizer would be great.
You need more hand sanitizer?
Well, it's always good to have it on stock. But we have a lot of it, but it's good to have more.
Blue Cross Blue Shield, there was a note that went out through the Dover Charter School Network. And Blue Cross Blue Shield says they're going to donate a bunch to the educational community. So all we got to do is kind of put in an order, and supposedly it is free of charge, and it is now it may be limited to how much per se that each school gets, but I guess that email came out from Kendall earlier this week, or no, last week maybe.
Correct. And so, you know, and that'll be good. I mean, as you can see, look around the campus, we have our signage up. It's all around. We're in actually, we put it up. We have still more to go up. It's sitting in the drill hall. That's another cost that I did bring up at CBOC. We are, due to all the disinfecting, just to give you an idea, they do all the bathrooms in the school three times a day. And all the high-touch surfaces they have to clean. It takes them each time, one person, a whole hour, to go around and hit those services. So we're pretty weak, we knew coming into this, on our day shift. So we're, instead of hiring a fifth custodian, we are going to contract out. Because once this service is then not needed, then we're gonna just stop using it instead of hiring somebody. And so we got the bid out. It looks like it's gonna be about $500 a week to have someone come in for 25 hours. Okay. And strictly disinfecting, because right now we can't handle any maintenance on our facility or anything because that's what they're doing all day long.
All right.
It's really squeezing us.
All right, so third-party contractor coming in, open-ended, watch the when you sign the contract, you know, that it, they don't put in a clause, this is a minimum 6 months or a minimum 1 year, you got out clauses and so on and so forth. All right, and these guys will come in specifically high-touch service stuff.
High-touch services, plus we'll be cleaning some areas and, of course, disinfecting these areas over and over again.
Got
it. I mean, you just give you an idea, every morning we spend the first 45 minutes disinfecting all the buses as they come in, you know. So it's just, you know, all these different things that we're doing. But you asked about sprayers. We are waiting for one more sprayer. We have two handhelds. They were $1,500 a piece, and they do good. They do a nice job. They're electrostatic. We're waiting for our big electrostatic. It's a backpack. And the reason that, you know, we really didn't go with that to begin with is it's expensive. But the handhelds are nice, but you got to imagine they only hold a small container. So you quickly have to constantly refill this thing, and it slows down the process. So plus, we always want another device on hand if we need it. So I will tell you this, though, with the disinfectant sprayers, electrostatic, my office has always smelled like a moldy basement, musty basement. Every day I walk in, I get used to it after first hour. But the thing about it is...
You're feeling better now. It ain't moldy anymore.
I don't smell it anymore. I don't smell it, so it's done wonders for our old building and clean it up. So I like that. So that's good. Federal grant. So, of course, we have last year's federal grant remaining is $106,000. This year, the total amount is $309,000. Now, included in that $309,000 is the $82,155 for our school emergency relief. Now, once everything's settled there, that we will take some of those things we bought, and that will come out of that $82,000. A lot of these things that I'm talking about will end up coming out of there. And all the different things we had to buy for our teachers to make sure that, you know, in their virtual environment, of course, Stacy can talk about that a little bit, we had to buy them some things to make it easier for them to do their job. So,
and that's the 82 or 85K?
$82,155. Okay, so just in the month of August, the only thing we had going out was $8,000, $182 paid for salaries for IDA, our special ed coordinator. So, and of course, federal revenues are recognized as income when we encumber them or expend them. And outlook, I didn't put the outlook in there. We're looking good. But right now, there's too many unknowns to get a clear sight picture on what it's going to be. But again, we carried over last year $1,259,000. Carried over $47,000 this year's budget. So that other money has been removed. So it's sitting in there, but it's just not part of fiscal year 21 budget.
Cool. All right, guys, questions? Katie, Verity, anything? You guys on Zoom for Pat? Nope.
I don't have any questions.
All right, cool. All right. Yes, ma'am?
She's good.
Okay, got it. All right, cool. All right, CBOC, we held a CBOC meeting, what's it?
17th.
Last week, 17th. If you all know of anybody that, again, I'm making a plea for a CBOC member, we're having a little trouble. What about Leslie?
Maybe. Let me work on that.
All right. So, at any rate,
I'm glad he was looking at you when he said that.
I'm
looking at him.
No.
You need another thing.
I know.
Yeah, no. At any rate, we did have a CBOC, did not have quorum. We did get into a couple of other issues that relates to the budget. One of the things, and again, Pat, I don't know if you want to talk about the capital issue and the funding piece that's coming from just the Capital School District. It may not be worth bringing up here, but that was one of the issues we talked about. We looked at some of the other numbers. The Marine Corps issue is still outstanding as it relates to their reimbursement. And I think, Jim, I don't know if there was anything else that we needed to, that was a big deal during CPSC. Do you remember anything else?
Capital School, you mentioned Capital School District. The trending for the district revenues was trending about $10,000 more than what was in the preliminary budget. And as Pat mentioned, the school budget for transportation was $449, and it's expected to be about $570 as a cost standpoint. Pat covered the COVID stuff and that the CARES money or whatever the school relief is, so that the current expenditures for year-to-date expenditures will go down because that money will be applied against the federal money, so it'll improve the bottom line for the school. Pat, a question for you is, you talked about a third disinfectant machine, backpack type thing.
Yes.
You said that the two freestandings were $1,500. The cost for that third one is?
$3,500.
A little more than expected, actually.
Oh, Scott, they're expensive.
Good God.
Yeah. Different perspective. When he said expensive, I was thinking five figures. So.
Oh, were you?
Now, hey, do you want to talk about, because the local expenditures is a big concern, local per pupil. And we're worried now that, you know, years down the road, maybe next year, that since schools didn't spend as much per pupil this past year, it's going to have a negative effect on us down the road.
Right.
To give you an example, Capital School District, funding went down $109 less per student. We have 72 students from Capital School District. The reason given when they were asked about it is they have 100 additional students in special ed this year. So it actually lowered how much they're spending per pupil. And as a result, it affects all the charter schools because that determines what money we get from them. We have a question out to DOE to find get a better answer so we can understand them. So.
Yeah, I will tell you guys, I don't get it. That doesn't make sense, because if you increase the number of folks that are IEP, what are those categories of
basic, intense, and complex?
That's right. So if you're increasing the number of complex or intense instruction, Dennis, if I remember correctly, this was one of your little thingies, the amount of money you get from DOE and the feds increases to support the amount of extra effort that's required for these particular students. Anyway, that's the discussion that we had in CBOC as it relates to capital. Cool. I don't think I've got anything else on CBOC, but if you do have an individual or someone that you think would like to give a little time, we meet every other month except during the summer when we close out and then begin the next budget year. Very well. Nothing else there. Our finance report. Questions, comments? Seeing none. Commandant's report. So let's go to
Scott.
This one. Web report.
Web-based. Thank you. Web report, of course. I had it. I know it. Take a look at the web report. Thank you. Yep, there it is. Any questions, comments on the web report? Do I have a motion to approve?
Motion.
Got a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Got a second. Discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Any abstentions, deletions, strikeouts? Seeing none, passed. Wonderful. All right. Pat, now to Commandant's report.
Okay. Enrollment, of course, I told you we are 462 cadets enrolled for the school year. We currently have 99 families who have chosen 100% remote instruction. Wow. Actually, that number went to 100 today. So that's at 922, so to update that.
And general reasons for folks going to 100% remote. I know the number has moved, well, it's gone up, but it tends to bounce a little bit. Do you think we're set? Do you think it's going to stay this way for a little while, or do you think, what do you think?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, I don't think everybody's reasons the same. I think the ones that came in, or you know, ones that chose virtual came in a hybrid. They wanted to come in and be around cadets. There are others that wanted to stay 100% remote because you know they're worried about the health and safety. Understood that. We also feel that we do have some of our seniors that they want to stay home because they want to work. And of course, our schedule doesn't allow it, but they're going to try to do it anyway. So.
We'll see.
It's the same thing that happened in the spring. I mean, they look at it as the school, I can do my work at night. I'll just work a full-time job.
Yeah.
So because there is a lot of employers out there looking for teenage help right now. So they're eager to make the money. So
of the 100-plus families or the 99 families that are doing remote, do you have it broken down by class, meaning 20% freshmen, or is it skewed more towards the younger or towards the older, or is it spread evenly?
I can give you that number if you give me, after I'm done here, I can figure it out.
I'm really more of curiosity.
Just, you know, looking at it generally, it's all it varies, over. Yes. It varies.
All right, cool. All right, man, next.
But probably more seniors based on the population of seniors in the school. It'd be probably more seniors than percentage-wise, the other class. So we do have to talk about some appointments later on, and we can come back to that.
Okay. Do you want to go in? Are we going to go into special session on that? Or
we're going to need to just discuss
executive. Pardon me. Okay. Got it. We'll go to that in a sec.
Yeah. All right, well, our past event, we only have one. Usually we have a lot more this time. Induction day went Friday. You know, I will ask Colonel Wallace, since he was a video watcher, wasn't here. He got a different viewpoint than the rest of us. So I'll let him tell you how it went. So.
Well, I watched the, I live streamed it while I was driving, and so my wife was holding the phone for me, and you know, just being, as I mentioned to Pat, being away from the fray and not seeing all the behind-the-curtain stuff you're going, that you're on, you're fixing and moving and everything that you're dealing with at the moment, and just watching what was on the tape, I tell you, I was just smiling ear to ear, and I was just proud. I was proud of everybody, every speaker. It just was phenomenal. That perspective really changed kind of how I view the school, just being away from it and watching it. It was really, I was thrilled. I really was.
Well, and that's good to hear.
Your son had me laughing aloud in my truck. He really did. He was.
Yes, I am aware of the parable, and yes,
well, especially
that was
pretty funny. He nailed it when the commandant, you know, gives us those parables and quotes that we don't understand. Yeah, that's, mm-hmm. You know, yep.
That was pretty funny.
It was well done. I thought everybody looked great. You know, I didn't expect the freshmen, without any true leadership, helping them to march in very well. It was a herd.
Yes, it was a herd. I noticed that big time.
Yes.
I would tell you, color guard looked sharp. A couple of spots, a little slow on their cuts and stuff, but overall, color guard looked great. Definitely was a herd. A couple of folks not quite taking seats, but good to hear that from, you know, the outside looking in, you were not embarrassed what you were seeing.
It was really well done. Yes.
Good. Anybody else see it on, well,
did you lose
you were me? Here, you were here. What do you think, Reg?
I thought I was very happy with it. The herd thing. It was a little.
Well, you got to remember, we've had those.
Didn't have camp.
you know, for
yep.
practicing for two, well, 3 days, partial, you know, about an hour for 3 days.
Yep.
In a ceremony, and they, the first time they heard the music was the day of.
Did you lose video? So, I've had several people tell me they lost video, that it froze up right after the national anthem and didn't come back for a little bit. Anybody else hear that?
No, it worked fine for me. Okay. I mean, it may have timed out a couple of times. I think that was the truth to where I was, my location versus
right.
anything else.
Reggie, he did say it dropped a few times. He's going to clean it up, and he's going to give me a clean copy to put up on the website when it comes in. I'll post it out there when I get it. I got to contact him. But I will tell you that that has been pretty much our story since the start of this year with our internet. We're battling stuff. We don't know what it is.
Yeah, it's the whole internet thing. It seems to be difficult. And I'm not sure, I agree with Pat, I'm not sure what it is. But anyway, well, Bob, that was good to hear. And all that sort of stuff. So moving along, tell me about Marine Corps Ball and some other things that are coming up.
Sorry, I'm trying to count some numbers for you, that question you asked. I'm trying to save Pat from having to do it. We're almost there. Marine Corps Ball, so I called today just to check with the Executive Conference Center up in Newark, and they are currently limited and have been executing events up to 250. So they are well aware of everything and how to do it, no issues. So when I heard that number, my concern was that we may not be able to fit enough in there to make it worthwhile to conduct a ball. But with 250 right now, I think that the ball should be a go. It would be my recommendation. And she is supposed to hear something back on the 18th of October. That's, I guess, is geared, governor's decision geared mostly toward businesses, establishments like hers, and some of the schools, apparently. That's what she was mentioning, that she believes it's going to go up to 400 or 500 by that point in time. So they may be back to full capacity. And that, so basically what she said, hey, what I'm hearing is we're going to phase three in the business world. So.
Well.
In the business world, so.
Let me offer a counter position.
Okay.
Not to go too far down this hole, but I was on a conference Zoom today with a representative from the administration, and that very question was asked, when are we going to phase three? And the response was, I don't know. And I don't see anything going indicating we are going to do it, because they keep thinking or seeing these spikes, these little spikes that we get from the college kids, particularly in Delaware and Newark. They think they're a little concerned about Wesley and Del State down here. Boy, I hope she has the inside track and the individual we're talking to doesn't know, and she does, because we got to get to phase three. And I agree, if we do get to phase three, you're right, we're now 400 or 500 folks and trying to get back to normal, but boy.
Well, Even at 250, I think that's pretty solid, and I think we ought to roll with it. We just may have to limit the number of parents that attend and make it mostly cadets. But typically, we've had about 100 parents, 110 like that show up. So we may just have to say no parents, you know, staff, school staff only. If it's at 250, but I think my recommendation would be to go. We do it as planned.
Well, certainly anything that maintains semblance of continuity, normalcy, yeah, man, I'd go, and maybe we get lucky and we're in phase three. Does anybody have any counter opinion or think maybe not? Guys on Zoom? Verity, Katie?
Hi. Go ahead,
Katie.
No, go ahead.
I agree with you, Scott. It's so hard to predict anything these days. I think going ahead, and I agree with you, Scott, I mean, we were just on calls today, and until those numbers go down, they're not going to be putting us in phase three. So with sports starting, I'm not sure I see those numbers going down anytime soon.
Yeah. All right, cool. Katie?
I was just going to say we're very sad, so.
Okay. All right, cool. All right, so Bob, thank you. Please. proceed and start moving forward.
Very well, thank you.
Are you doing the executive center just because of the cost? The bank, are you doing that banquet center just because it's a better
cost? No, it has nothing to do with the cost. Is Dover Downs and not our business.
Yep. Really?
No, that, I tried for 4 months to get them to commit to a date. Back in October, I started. Before our, we were over a year out. The first response was, we only booked 12 months out. So I came back in 12 months, Christmas, January, February, and I finally said, the lady finally shared with me her opinion is that the new ownership of Dover Downs is not interested in events like ours. They want concerts and comedy acts that draw a different crowd and more money. So I said, okay.
You know, they want the adult money coming in. And
yeah, they want the gaming. Yep, yep, yep. All righty. Very well. Pat, anything else you want to hit on?
Now, before I go to Stacy, just let you know, the internet was upgraded to 1G, 1 gigabyte, and from 100 megabytes. And after Ms. Clark's done, we're going to talk about our remote attendance policy and talk about athletics.
Okay, so we're into academics, I think.
Yeah, I'm going to jump ahead. Is that okay?
Yeah, yep. No worries. Go ahead, Stace.
Ms. Clark.
Thank you. So last week we opened a digital curriculum event, and we did that. We chose not to do the online where parents or families are connecting for every single class, just because of some of the tech things and the having to watch people coming in and out for teachers. And then losing and dropping, and my experience with my own children at other schools, we found that that may not be successful, and it would be frustrating. So we did an online event, and everybody recorded their a little intro video as though they were in the classroom doing the event, and included their syllabus. So that is all on our website if anybody wasn't able to see that. It is up there, and we will leave it up in this way. It also allows families who aren't able to attend, so it's kind of, it may be the start of something, families that aren't able to attend, if we have a recorded session, it doesn't leave them out, which is nice. So that was one of the, I think, one of the benefits. Also, we are completing our math and ELA universal testing. That's mandated 3 times a year. We will be doing SAT and the NMSQT. And for our juniors coming up, we had, as you know from before, we had a small group of cadets who missed the makeup testing. They missed the SAT, and then because we were out the end of March, they missed the makeup date, and they are mandated by the state to test. Otherwise, we get a zero for them, and the offset of zero is pretty significant. So we will be making them up, and if they don't make that date, they miss that, we do have 2 other dates that we have to test them. So hopefully we'll be able to get it. It's only, can't remember if it's 9 or 11, and so we'll be doing that. Our teachers also did ask for trauma-informed classroom training, and we are starting that. The Department of Ed had a grant, and they are covering it for anybody who requests in the state of Delaware, for the teachers that requested it. And so all of our teachers requested it in the spring, and so we will be doing that. Otherwise, it costs $150 per person, so we're going to start that. And our student services support team is up and running, and that is including attendance, it's including academic disengagement, and so all sorts of interventions, mental health interventions, and things like that. So we get together as a team, and we review on a weekly basis, and teachers are referring, families can refer, and cadets can refer each other or themselves. And then we process through and we divvy out based on strengths or in areas that each person covers in their role. So that was helpful. We started that in the spring, but I sort of cleaned it up a little bit and made it more organized and a clearer process and function through that. And then last is, Pat has covered too, our special education numbers are increasing. They did increase. We are just a little over 18%, which is our highest that we've had. And we are, as you know, Pat, I'm sure shared with the CDC, we're missing a few because of some of the program is not talking, and that is not our fault at all. DOE is working on it with some other people, but we will be up to over probably about 19.5% special education students, and that is above the average in the state of Delaware. State of Delaware, about 17. Our ELL
numbers have gone up.
Stacey.
Yes.
Hey, real quick, yeah, any reason for the trend moving up a little bit in what you think we have more versus less or why it's gone up?
You know, I don't know. Our last 2 years, our ninth grade numbers have significantly increased. I think, you know, I think we do a nice job. I think we try to do a nice job. Parents are usually pretty responsive and pretty appreciative of our work, so that could be some of it.
You're thinking word of mouth?
I'm sorry?
Word of mouth, that parents are communicating in this community and they are saying, hey man, my kids are at First State, they do a pretty good job. It's something as simple as that?
I think there's some of that. I think there's some, you know, you get anywhere, there, you know, people are coming. You know, our number increased and therefore our numbers increased, I think.
Okay.
So, I mean, I think it runs the gamut. So I don't really have an answer other than it's increasing. The level of need has definitely increased. And that, you know, will show up in the budget as Pat's talked about for the complex. We have more complex students than we've ever had. More with significant high needs and kids that, you know, I had different classifications than we've had before. So that's our need for services, high level of services. So our ELL also has increased. We're still low in the, you know, we're 3% right now, but we were only at 1% last year. So, you know, that's increased. So just to kind of tell you some of our demographic piece, I know Pat had sort of covered that as well in the numbers. So.
Okay. Cool. Anything else?
No, I think everybody is working hard and doing a great job. You know, as always, I think the MIs, a shout out to them for what they, you know, they pulled off on Friday. That was nice. It was different to see just the ninth grade for the new cadets versus and not having the seasoned cadets in there. But I still think it was impressive, and so, you know, bravo to those who pulled that off. It is not an easy feat. I've seen it, and it is not easy. So the behind the scenes is a lot of work. So bravo.
Wonderful. Questions, guys? Anything for Stace? Nope, seeing nothing. Okay. VW, anything for you? From you?
Nope, okay. Thank you.
All right. Cool. All right, so we've got a couple things left to do. We've got Pam, why don't we do policies and procedures, and we'll hold the appointment issues to the end of your report, because we also have athletics, so we've got to vote and approve that. So why don't we do those two items next?
Okay, the attendance piece, again, this builds upon our current attendance. It doesn't replace it. It's just an add-on. We're just requiring that, hey, look, that we take it for every class period. I want you to know we're digging into it every day to find pieces and get these kids engaged. But it just says, you know, we talk about daily attendance. I say cadets will engage in synchronous classes. I didn't put the number two only because we had talked in before that we were going to start with two, and hopefully we can increase that number. We'll see if that's doable later on, and same with asynchronous class at the end of the day. So that's pretty much just requiring what they're doing, and then our intervention plans to get these cadets that are not engaged or not attending these classes. I can tell you pretty much we do have some, but it's not as bad. It's not that bad. And again, we're going to get to the bottom of it.
Is it students attending in person, then not doing the you know, asynchronous?
Yeah, we have a lot of that right now where they're not doing the asynchronous, because what we do is we have them go in and they have to do a small exit ticket before 3 o'clock, 1500, and there's a disconnect there. We're trying to correct that, reconnect that, and get that on, and Ms. Clark's going to take care of that. And she's working on a plan, and we're going to give her the data to make sure that goes. But, and again, it's just we're going to have to, as I always tell them, we're going to have to go one cadet at a time. She's going to keep chopping away.
How about the remote learners? Have they been pretty good?
Well, that's one thing we noticed. See, with the remote learners, with the kids that are coming in, if they're not attending, well, when they get off the bus, they're going to hear it from me because I let them know. I take the list out with me every day. And I'm like, you know, and stuff like that. But the cadets that are remote, it's a little bit more difficult. That's not to say that there's a lot of, we have a lot of remote learners that are hitting stride and knocking it out. So, yeah.
So this is just, I was just going to add, this is one of the things that I've talked to Pat a couple of times about, just not letting this number get away from us. That if we're not really paying attention to kids that aren't showing up on a routine basis, and all of a sudden nobody's reaching out, and it's a week, it's 2 weeks, and before you know it, they're gone. And we saw this school not as bad as others, but some schools, these kids in the spring, just, they never saw them again. So I just want to thank Pat for staying on it, and Stace and the gang for staying on this, because it's a dead focus.
Yeah. Hey, Scott, can I say just a quick comment?
Yes, sir. Of course.
I think it's important for maybe the board to understand. This has been quite the ordeal. Okay. I want you to think about maybe the last time you started a new job. You walked in, and everything's foreign to you. You're learning new people, new things, new routines, systems, everything. That's what this school is going through right now. It's like a new job. Nothing over in what we're doing is anywhere near the same. We've been meeting every day, every morning, every afternoon or night, figure out what we're going to do for the next day, lessons learned, how are we going to roll this into next week, when are we going to get up on stride, transition away from things we're doing, all the new stuff that has to be done. Pat has done a phenomenal job. I know he's here, and I know a lot of people listening. He doesn't like to hear this. He's done a phenomenal job. Ms. Clark has done a phenomenal job. I mean, they have done a lot of detailed work to keep this school safe and keep us on point. And when we're not doing things right, they point it out, and it's good on them for doing so. Nurse Lawson, the teachers, I know their world's upside down. So now think about all the kids. They're teenagers. They're all over the place. They're trying to figure out, well, we didn't do it this way last year, and they really are. Now, the freshmen are adapting pretty well. It's the others, to me, that are not adapting so well because they keep tripping into how it was last year. And it's not. It's not to say it's not how we ended last year. So it really is like starting a new job, a new place with new people, and just new things to do. And it's been a ride. But without these guys, I'm telling you, we'd be lost. We would be lost. And God bless the teachers, you know, for sticking it out too. Really.
Okay. Point taken. Thank you. It has been very, all of this has been extremely difficult. And my concern is that some will actually start equating what we're doing now is an okay education. Now, we can stay in this mode for weeks and months and months and months. And I would offer that while we are doing the best, and you guys are doing great, it does and cannot replace our kids being in this building and going to school. And we have got to figure out, I don't know, this is more a rabbit hole, so I'm not going to go down that road, but that's what's got to happen. This is a substitute only, and we have got to get away from it as fast as we can and get our kids back in this building. Ultimately, that's where we need to be, but thank you, Bob, for bringing that forward, because it has been a grind. Absolute grind. Truly. All right. We have an attendance policy before, showing for an approval from the board.
Yes,
the policy is presented. Do I have any discussion, further discussion on the policy? VW, Katie, I think you guys see it. It's that doc. It's policy number 026541. I love the numbering. Where did that come from? All right. So we've had 265 policies?
No, 265 yeah. days in 2020 school year.
Very funny. All right. Seeing no discussion on the policy before us, can I have a motion to approve the hybrid schedule attendance policy?
Motion.
All right, I have a motion to approve that. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second.
All right, I got a motion, I got a second. Any further discussion?
I guess one yes, question. Ma'am. Does this go, are you sending this out to parents, cadets? I know we have you have your policies out on the site, but are we actively pushing this out?
I can.
Okay.
That's a good point. Because, right, if one of the things we're trying to do again is just keep track of, yeah, you might want to make a note. Okay.
It'll be done.
Good point. Thanks, Linda. Yep. All right, we had some discussion. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor of the motion as presented, say aye.
Aye.
Any abstentions? No, seeing none, passed. Good. Wonderful. All right, so we took care of that. Policy procedures, let's do the athletics update, and then we'll go to executive for the names. All right, Pat,
okay, so
document? The one with the yellow on it?
Yeah, it's all three. There's a waiver in there, and then there's actually three documents. There's the athletic update, which I did not send out because that came to me later. But I sent out the risk assessment, risk considerations, and the waiver release that all families will have to complete before participating.
Okay. What do you want to hit first?
Well, I just want to give you the facts.
Okay.
So as you know, of course you read, it's all been approved. Now it's up to the individual schools. It begins actually Monday, September 28th. We've already talked about it. We're only going to offer football, volleyball, and cross country. And participation numbers will all depend. I don't even know if we're going to do JV. Because we talked about activity buses, we can only transport half of the people on the buses. So if we have four buses, then we can only transport, you know, what we could with only two buses. So that limits us. So they're going to look at that. Blair's looking at that. Physicals, all incoming freshmen must have a new physical for the 2021 school year. Everybody else is allowed to use last year's physical until the end of the year. Participation fees, that hasn't changed. Pre-screening, we'll have to pre-screen with temperatures, something we do every day. Hey, just by the way, since the weather changed and the heat's on the buses in the morning, Blair and I have cadets lined up along these walkways, because when we check their temperature, they're all way above where they're supposed to be. So we let them stand there for like 10 seconds, then we go out and check it again. It's good. Activity buses, here's where the cost comes in that we're going to try to limit it. And a month ago when we talked about this, I said, Blair, tell your coaches that if we do athletics, they need to think differently on how they coach. They're not going to have five days to do their practices. We're going to condense it to three because I'm not paying for activity buses that much because we have to run before. Since we only have one set of cadets here, we need to bring the other ones in.
Yep.
Why am I not understanding that?
There's only like sophomores here on the day.
The football,
and then you got to bring all the freshmen, juniors, and everyone in.
So the way we worked it, though, Scott, is that it's going to be the same as last year, except one point. We're going to have a fifth day. So that's the best we can get to where it's going to be. It should work out. but it is going to be a cost effect.
And the cost is going to be transportation.
Correct. Transportation is always going to kill us.
I know.
Just because we draw cadets from such a wide area. So again, reduced practices. Attendance policy, they must do their virtual classes to come. And, you know, the waiver and the practice schedule, again, it's pretty much, you know, pretty simple. Since we've already been in person and hybrid, a lot of what we already do is just going to transfer over. They will wear their masks. Our football team will have to wear the face shields, which we already ordered well before they said we had to. It never hurts to have them. And so they're going to be in. And the reason I talk about it, we have a lot of seniors at the school that have been here 4 years. It's a pretty good group to help build that program. And I was kind of hoping that they would be able to play their senior year at the school. So I'm happy. I feel it's going to take place because, like they said, those kids came in as freshmen and sophomores. That was our varsity team 3 years ago, whereas them, our seniors. So that's a pretty big deal.
All right. Pat, are we going to be able to have some competition? Are most schools starting up?
We're going to do a conference only.
Okay.
Diamond State, we're going to stay in conference.
Okay.
We're only going to have a reduced number of games.
What no season spectators. Is, what, seven games?
Seven games for football, nine for volleyball, six for cross country. No spectators. We can't manage that because then we have to get everybody's name and phone number to attend. It's not manageable. Plus our fields, everybody can walk in and look, so we're just gonna say no, nobody. We are looking to live stream it for families at a reduced rate.
Will other schools have spectators? Do you know?
No, the whole Diamond State Conference said no spectators. Okay. We agree, they agreed as a conference to say no, they're not gonna do it.
All right, and Diamond State's who's in Diamond State? I forgot.
DMA, Charter School, Wilmington, okay. Newark Charter, MOT, St. Elizabeth,
yeah,
they're bringing
Pratt.
Them in,
yeah. Archmere.
Yeah, those guys.
Red Line.
All right, cool. When does it start? When do you think?
Monday.
Monday?
Well, not Monday, but Tuesday for us, yes.
Okay. All right, this will be interesting to see how this goes. I must admit, guys, I don't know how a volleyball player is going to wear a mask playing volleyball. I don't know how you do that. I don't know how you breathe. I don't know how you do that. I have enough trouble breathing now. Put a mask on me and I start doing physical exertion, I'm out.
Well, just let you know, Scott, that Under Armour has come out with one that's built for aerobic activity. Mr. Newman bought one to try it out.
Are they the ones with the things on the side?
No, it's performance and it's double layered. He's trying it out and he says, yes, it's much easier to breathe out of than the two cloth. It's expensive, but with our school, we get 40% off Under Armour. So we're going to offer it up to our families for $20. We can give them a nice mask.
That's okay. Very nice.
Yeah.
All right.
Is there any talk about doing any of the marine-based things, the marksmanship, the drill?
We have to wait and see because of the transportation. We're going to take it one step at a time.
Got it.
We do want to do that, though.
Makes sense.
Speaking of, Bob, are at least our marksmanship guys, have they been able to compete internally or practice internally?
No, we haven't done anything yet, Scott.
Okay.
And Matt and I have talked about it briefly. We have surveys out right now that are gaining the level of interest. By the number of cadets that are interested in drill, raiders, and marksmanship. And then we have to dovetail into the activity buses as well with athletics. If there's room, then we'll weigh in. Frankly, at this point, there will be no raiders competitions as I can see, because there's nobody out there is competing.
Right.
The Army has said no participation in anything to all of their schools until the Army says so. At least the Marine Corps hasn't come out and given you that kind of moratorium. There may be some, there's a smattering of marksmanship opportunities, and drill looks like it's it'll be somewhat alive come January. So we're going to try to do some sustainment training, basically, between now and then, is our goal.
Okay.
But it's going to depend upon availability here.
Understood. All right. We've done that. We've talked about the athletic. Pat, do you need a formal motion on this document?
No, that I'm just sharing with you. That's a document that's pretty much a canned document that all the schools put together.
For DOE.
Just with our little bit of information. That's the Department of Public Health required us to fill that out. That's already been submitted to them waiting for their approval.
Okay.
I just need your permission to proceed.
Okay. So any further discussion on the sports plan as presented? All right, do I have a motion?
Motion.
To allow Pat to and the staff to proceed with executing fall sports?
Motion.
I got a motion for receive four. Do I have a second?
Second.
I see. Okay, discussion.
Hey.
I got a question. So do you know how many cadets are playing football or are signing up for football?
60 plus.
Wow.
And are they going to all be practicing at the same time?
Probably, yes. Spread out. I mean, we'll follow DPH's guidelines. Wear a mask. DPH altered their guidelines for schools that allow cadets to be within three feet from one another, as long as they, you know, they're masked, and they don't have to quarantine if someone comes positive.
What about the locker room situation? Like, if you got 60 kids all getting changed in the locker room,
everything will have to be shifted there.
Okay.
Mr. Newman's working it out. Plus, Katie, when we disinfect all the rooms, that area will be disinfected every night. All the equipment will be disinfected, which is probably a really good thing.
Do it all. Yeah.
Yes.
I think my only other question is, so what are there sports that would normally be happening right now that aren't happening?
Boys soccer.
Like in the fall?
Boys soccer. We eliminated it just because we only had 10 interested cadets. So we're thinking that at this time, to get this in, we really have to stay as small as we possibly can. Of course, volleyball is very popular with our girls. And, of course, cross-country is a male and female sport. So we try to keep it even though our population is 60% male.
And with the buses, you said, so the cadets who are, I guess, not in the building on, let's say, a Tuesday when there's practice, we're going to have a bus to go get them specifically? Is that, I guess, what's happening?
Correct. We do that every year in August when sports start, and we also have our camps. We have activity buses running that bring cadets to school and then take them back home. So we just dusted off an old schedule that we had before and just cleaned it up and put these dates in there.
My only other question is, because I understand, especially with the seniors, wanting them to play since the last year, and like you said, they built up the program. Is Mr. Newman looking to make the football team any smaller, or are you coaching volleyball?
That might be a possibility, Katie. We really want to look, and you know, but it's kind of hard. Even with our volleyball team, we've had the interest of our girls that want to play volleyball is huge. I think it's 33.
Wow.
And there's only six on the court at a time. So it is we're going to take a look at it, and because we don't want to push people away.
No.
Because that could be forever. So he knows that's an issue. He's talking with his coaches. We're going to have to build a plan about that, but it's kind of like when we came into the hybrid thing. We can't foresee how everything's going to go. And we know that we're going to have to make adaptions. But, yeah, football is one because quite frankly, I don't think we have 60 helmets. And I don't feel like purchasing $400 worth of equipment per cadet. Yes.
If we don't have enough helmets.
What's that? Yes, because in the past we've only had around 40 to 50 on the team.
Why is there a sudden spike?
It's just we're getting the interest. We have a lot of freshmen that are football that want to play football. It's just we have a lot of interest of our cadets coming in.
Okay. I think that's something I would be concerned about, because if we're trying to do, you know, hybrid, we're only having a certain number of kids even in a classroom. Together. And I know football, I know everything's outside, but even with, although I do like the face shields, I didn't know that we were going
to
do that.
And they have to wear masks too.
And now.
Plus we have to have a hand washing station out there for them.
Okay.
Yes.
I think it's just more like the, when they're not being supervised outside, doing drills or whatever they're doing, and there's, you know, the locker room or, you know, when they're just kind of in bundles. If one of the kids did test positive for COVID, I feel like that would just, everyone would get shut down. Like, there's no cohort. If that makes sense.
Now, Katie, I know exactly what you're saying, but, I think it's SMAC is the physicians in Delaware already approved it. They agree we should go forward with it. The Department of Public Health said yes, we should go forward with it. DIA said yes, we should go forward. This thing went through four layers. So
no, I'm not against them planning. I want to make sure that it's done safely. So I just didn't know if there was a way. I don't really know how football works. So
well,
I don't know if there was a way to maybe have, I don't know, all the people playing in the same position. Or
Katie,
it's possible to do in cohorts.
Yeah, so I think one of the things, right, we have to remember is that when we're up here at this level, we have a wonderful staff, right, and we've got a athletic director, and we got folks that are thinking about all this sort of stuff, and I never played football, so I don't know all the nuances, and I'm not going to press Pat or Blair on this particular issue and this plan, particularly when we've already set it up, it's been approved by a whole bunch of other folks. Let me tell you, I'm glad they're outside. I'm glad they're playing football. And if I could figure out how to get everybody playing football, I'd be doing that, given my druthers. So I'm just sort of like, let's go, man. This is good. They'll get it done.
I was just working some
Kind of
concerns.
Yeah, understood. And I'm comfortable that Blair has given it the diligence needed to take care and protect our kids. I think we're going to be okay. Cool. All right. Any other discussion on the motion before us? Seeing none, all in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Abstentions? All right, seeing none, passed. Hey, Pat, last item was the appointment and stuff. Since we got to go to executive session, Dennis, we're going to just move through the agenda. You're going to be up here very shortly. You could go, you know, we'll talk, and then you can just leave, and we'll do it at the end of our meeting. So you don't have to stick around. So I think we are done the commandant's report. Anything else, guys, under that? Committee reports, we've already done academic. We just talked about sports. So next is, you and Dennis here, and I'll talk a little bit about that, but you go first.
Based on the agenda, so the snapshot information. So Dan is going to send that out. Hopefully it's close to being done. So we'll have the newest one for the Bulldog for last year. So this was just a little bit of a snapshot we created about our cadets. Some of it's about the entire school, and some of it's about specifically about our seniors, things like, you know, where are they going to if they're going to college, going to the military, things like that. So it was something we came up with last year. So we're finishing up our 2020 graduates there. You mentioned that you had a theme on here. I'm super excited. Thank you, Pat. I think it's very inclusive. I see the communication where we are better together. I have a vision that when we are together, like, I would love to get like t-shirts made or something that kind of celebrate that we're back together. So I'm very happy that the theme is kind of carried through.
Ribbon cutting, damn it. So when we're back in school, yes, we're going to have big scissors and we're going to be
we're
doing
a big
ribbon
banner
cutting.
Like we are
absolutely
doing.
Absolutely. Yeah. Have a football team run through
that. That would be awesome. And then, so just before this meeting, we had a little our first marketing committee meeting. Hans, myself, Pat and Colonel and Dan was there as well. So we kind of started talking about some sell sheets, things we want to develop that can be used for parents and incoming cadets, as well as businesses or officials or whoever's interested in learning about our school who could possibly want to come and maybe invest, donate, things like that. So we talked about, you know, trying to sell what we've done here in the school. And what all the instructors, everything did at the end of the year last year, how the school was up and running and ready to go based on the pandemic much sooner and easier. And I don't know it was easier, but it was easier than some of the other schools. Like, can we tell our story? Because it was remarkable. And then how do we tell the story about how we started this year? All the challenges, all the work everyone put in. We want to be able to tell the story so that people understand what we did. Because there are, you know, parents and obviously who are not happy with what their schools are doing, and here's what we're doing. So we want to control the narrative there. So we talked about, you know, figuring out some kind of way to market that. We also talked about what other type of materials we may need for parents. Like, just history of the campus. I know Pat said he had some materials there. Like, what has our first 5 years been like? What does our next 5 years look like? Things like that, just to kind of show the vision and where we've come from. Because it's been amazing, I'd say, first 5 years and, you know, where we're at. And then we spent a lot of time kind of talking about what we should be doing with the Naval Honors Award. So third year in a row, get the Naval Honors Award. Yep. Did we decide to invest in an ad in a paper that says, are you interested in going to a service academy? Like, just putting it out there so that people know what that means. I think we were able to.
Because we've never done that.
No, I mean, I think Colonel said there was. You get, what was the numbers, Colonel? It was
6-3
at the three at the Air Force Academy, 3 at
West Point,
sorry, and 6 Naval Academy nominations. I mean, that's amazing. Certainly the cadets have to do a lot of other stuff. Just the nomination doesn't do something, but there are people who, like, you know, a dream to go to the Naval Academy in 6th grade, 7th grade, 8th grade. Or their parents think they have this vision. And, you know, just because you say you want a Naval Honor Award, people don't put 2 and 2 together. You really have to kind of put it out there. So I do, you know, we do think to talk about, like, investing in maybe some advertising for something like that. 3 years in a row is an amazing accomplishment, especially last year with cancellation of some of the events in the shortened year. To still get that's amazing. So we spent a little bit of time talking about that. I know Pat said he'd looked into advertising before, and it's costly, but I think if you get people to respond to that, you're going to get the better, like, the cadets that we want in this school. So spend some time talking about that. Obviously, we think tours are great when we're running as we normally run. I don't think tours at this time for people coming in, understand, not parent tours, just talking about people who want to learn more about the school,
right,
and the opportunity.
Yep.
So we've kind of put a pin in that one for a little bit. And then I think, you know, based on all that has been done over the past 5 years, this postcard probably needs to be a little bit beefier. Like, we don't, you know, mention the Naval Honors and what that means. So maybe there's a different avenue of communication that we need to start, you know, putting together. So I'm going to think a little bit about that, what are opportunities there. So it was a really good meeting. I think, Hans, did you have anything you wanted to
add? No, that's exactly right. It's a great school. We just need to let kids know a little younger, you know, so that they decide to come here on day one. And I thought it was a great meeting.
That's good stuff. Thank you.
And so today, yes, today it was in the paper in this Delaware State News, yes, but it was a small thing. Yeah. I too agree. It's a bit. I think it's a huge deal.
Huge. Yeah.
And the media, right, I'm media what doesn't dug it up.
What was in the?
There's a press release. Dan put a press release out for the.
Oh, all right, cool.
But it's a press release. Like but, you get the spot when you get the spot. It's
it
small.
It was a little column, and I don't know. It was.
We were lucky, I guess, last year that you guys had the plaque award with the induction day. Like, we made a bigger deal out of it with the people. And so
they tied it to something else. They tied it to other things.
Yeah.
The other thing, congratulations again to the Colonel and Pat, the staff, because I think this year it said you placed second.
Mm-hmm. We did. Took second place by 2 points.
So and that's it's gotten better every year.
Well, it has. And the RD was pretty honest. The regional director was pretty honest with me. He said, had you finished out your year as planned, he said you would have won.
Yep. Yeah. So I do think that's a big deal, and I think that's worth the investment. How many people do you know? I mean, I don't know how many people do congressmen and senators get to appoint? Is it as many as they want, or
no? It is limited, but they operate. I do know this. Senator Coons has a very different approach than Mr. Carper and Lisa Rochester. He picked, of all the applicants, and I think it's like 6 or 10 per academy, per congressman or senator. But Coons will only select one. And what he does is one per service academy, but that's a guarantee that individual is going. Because you can still be nominated by your congressperson or your senator, and the academy still says, nope, we're not taking you. So it does not guarantee a seat, it guarantees a look.
How does he finagle that? Because
you either nominate 10 or you select one. He likes to appoint one.
Okay. Yep.
Boom, you're in. Okay. The other ones like to say, well, we'll give 10 people a chance because more chances, more votes. And then they.
Does the honor school have that option, Colonel? You know.
I'm sorry, what?
Does the honor school have that option?
I mean, does he have that option of just putting in one name and guaranteeing?
Yeah. No.
Okay.
No. The way that works, as I explained earlier, you get senatorial nominations, you're in a pile. Congressional nominations for the power of congressman, and then you get the Naval Honor School. So if you get a nomination from all three, you get 3 shots to make it in. If all you receive is a Naval Honor School, you still get a look, but you have 1 shot. So
but I was looking. They brought up the fact that the senator, instead of nominating 10, he just does 1, and he's guaranteed in.
No, I'm pretty selective. If I don't think you're going to make it, then I try to advise you accordingly.
Right.
So the ones I do send in, they're gonna be worthwhile because they're not going to waste their time on it.
Right, but he's saying that a senator can pick just one, and he's guaranteed in.
Well, that's a senator.
Yeah, the senator.
But once we get some kids in, I think it'll feed on itself, and that'll be a great thing for the.
Well, that's certainly what DMA has been able to move off of for the last number of years, mm-hmm. is their ability to place kids at the Naval Academy.
Yeah. Again, it's no guarantee. So you got to say, listen, we have this opportunity. We can help nominate you, but here's the other things you need to do. And obviously that's what I think Mr. Bates helps with, and obviously the Colonel, things like that, to get them if they're interested early on, because you can't wait till you're a senior and decide you want to go to an academy. This will not work.
But anyway, it is a big deal, and I think we should make a big deal out of it.
Yeah.
And we got the new Colonel, Weiss, who was at the Naval Academy, so that all helped too.
There may be some intelligence and some understanding from his point of view about what he's experienced at the Naval Academy, no question. That is a wonderful segue to you, Dennis. For folks who do not know who this is, Dennis O'Brien, he was with us a couple of years ago, with us kind of in the beginning, and has been a big fan of our school. And he was with us on Induction Day on Friday. And we were talking, and I said to Dennis, I said, hey, here's some of the things we're doing, some of our plans, we're running out of space, we're running out of room, so to speak, and I said, who do you know that might be willing to help us raise some money? And not without much of a blink of an eye, Dennis, you said, I'll do that. Now, I'm putting it on the record. I did not specifically wrangle you and beat on you to get you to do it. I was really picking your brain to see who you might know that would be interested in maybe helping the school raise some money and do some neat stuff in the next coming months. So with that, we've had a couple of conversations that day. Hansi, you were with us, and again, Reg was with us. So based on maybe, Dennis, what you're hearing from Leslie about these sort of telling our story and all that and some of the needs that you kind of understand we have here at the school, what are your initial thoughts and what do you think, boss? What do you want to do?
Well, I'm a venture capitalist. I'm an economist. And I run InfoVest, and we acquire intellectual property companies. Our motto is we invest in people whose ideas change the world. We don't like to invest in hard assets. We invest in intellectual property and tangible assets. The big thing about investment, or raising the money to invest, is the story. Okay, and you have a hell of a story. And then the question is, where do you target the market to raise the funds? I was on, Senator Carper asked myself and Chuck Baldwin and John Riley to head up a fundraising for the USS Delaware when it was going to be christened here in Delaware. The event never happened, but we raised about $650,000, okay? The Navy League got all that money. And and by the way, the other day, I just tracked down that book we got. The book had the names of all the donors in it, okay? And it had it in a way that's very convenient because it had it by category of donation, as well as the a lot of corporations donated money as well. So I mean, one of the things we can do is start hitting that list because those people were interested in supporting a naval project. Okay.
Right, they're already inclined towards the military.
Well, yeah. They,
and Navy specifically.
Yeah, a lot of them were defense contractors, okay, mm-hmm. Federal local. Okay. I believe we're one of only three U.S. Marine Corps military academies.
That is correct.
Three military academies. So that's a very unique selling proposition. There's a lot of junior ROTC academies throughout the country. I don't know about NROTC, junior NROTC. I remember there used to be one up in New Jersey. I haven't found it. I haven't seen it anymore. But getting a good storyline, targeting it towards your audience, and then using the correct medium to get it out there. So I've been looking at that, but the Commandant said something to me the other day, and it's really true. I came down here originally because I was jealous. Okay. I was one of the founders of what became a failed charter school, high school. And it failed because we didn't keep on message, okay? And we had false positives about our student body. Another charter school had failed, and we had absorbed its students. And they had no inkling about the identity that we were trying to create. We were trying to create firemen and police officers. And these guys had come from a charter school where they learned accounting, essentially. That gave us a false positive. We went from initially 250 cadets to 400 in a matter of 2 years. But then the cadets started to peter out because they didn't tell their own story, okay? I did a whole bunch of focus groups about what was going on, and I found out that the main way you got cadets was to have current cadets talk about their experience. It wasn't even their parents, it was the current cadets. And that would get out to your peer group, and then that would go up to the parents. We failed because we lost our population of cadets. We lost our identity. The student I did a lot of financial models on it, and you could break even running the academy. We made a lot more money than you did for your student. It just calculated, you're almost $5,000 below us, below what we were. I shouldn't say I was very active with it, as with you. I've been in China for almost 30 years now, and I was distracted between 2009 and when I left the board in 2014 or 15. So I hadn't paid enough attention to it. But it's identity, okay? It's word of mouth, it's peer group, and you have to tell a story, mean the story, have everybody believe the story, and make sure the story is you, and then get out to an audience who can afford to put in money, okay? Now, one of the largest, you need a core, somebody or something that you can rely on, okay, that can get the word out to people who will donate or institutions who will donate. And that's a trick, okay? In the case of our academy, I partnered with Charlie Copeland, okay? And that got us into the DuPonts, okay? And that was a poor thing. We had to raise, I think it was $300,000, okay? And I raised $250,000 in one night because we had the right people in the room, okay? So you have to have the right story, the right people, and then, you know, well, Colonel Wallace, you probably remember this from PLSD. Find, fix, fight, and finish, right?
Mm-hmm.
You got to find the right guys, okay? You got to fix them by making sure that your idea of that unique selling proposition is really in their head, okay? And I used to say to people, put us last on your list. Just put us on your list, otherwise you're going to be looking dumb if you don't, okay, implying that. Fight means find out why they're not going to do it and get your best demonstrated practice in terms of arguments to say, no, you know, we really need your money. This is what it will do for us. You really should do this or whatever the hell the argument is that they're coming up with. You know, it'll be the usual argument, and you have to use best demonstrated answers to the usual argument that you practice. And finish means you ask for the money. And you ask for the money as soon as possible so that if you don't get it, you'll go to find the right guy who has it or figure out what the argument was that you didn't answer correctly. So the 4S, find, fix, fight, and finish. I don't know what your timetable is, and I don't know what the target is. Okay? You got to prospect, qualify, educate, demonstrate, you know, propose, respond to the objections. Read the book, close, okay? Those all take time. And I told the commandant, for lack of a better number, what do you think about $1 million?
Okay, well, I'm in. Right? I'm in. $1 million, easy, let's go. No, I'm being somewhat...
Is a million enough?
No.
Well, no, it's not. No. Quite frankly, you're right. It is not enough. Given that he's absolutely right. We've gone through some numbers about what really is needed. The total package for this school, including gym, stadium, parking lots, maintenance building, another science building, all in was about, what, 15... and a half to 16 million, if I remember what Becker Morgan produced when they created the master plan. We're about 7 million now. It's actually more than that if you talk about the football field and the Reno, the Quonset hut and the football field. So we've got another 5.5, 6, 7 million to go.
Round it up, Scott. That was 7 years ago. Make it 10 million. You're done.
You're right. So, good point. Another 10 million to go to complete the 35-acre campus, which puts us at an end strength of 600 plus or minus cadets on campus.
Well, let me. I hate cynics because they destroy hope and not destroy learning. But let me be cynical for a second and say, the way you organize a planning campaign like that is think how many buildings are going to have cornerstones with somebody's name on it.
Right. Okay. Yep.
And you know, or institution's name on it. And if we shoot, when you first came to me, Colonel, we talked about I'd call it an indoor assembly area or not a
drill hall. Yep.
Drill hole. You know, I'd like you guys to prioritize for me, you know, the five projects that you want to do, and we'll tackle them. I'd start out, you know, one of them. Can't tackle $10 million at once.
Dennis, you're absolutely right. And I'm sure Scott relayed some of the stuff to you there. But yeah, we had it identified in, you know, what priority order did we want to have things accomplished, and at what period of time did we want stuff to come online? And should dust that off and revisit it, because it's been about a year and a half since we last had that conversation.
Yep.
The struggle has been is actually, you know, what is all necessary to get this put together? And we had Horizon as a initial partner where it was hindsight's 2020, a total waste of money. We had another marketing firm come in that I had a relationship with that I thought would drive us to the piece, and they were relying on the holy grail of nailing a former
general,
Commandant of the Marine Corps as the honorary chair. When that fell apart, the relationship was kind of going south, but that made it go south completely. It's destroyed a friendship on my part because of the fact that it was not a nice departing strategy on their part. And as I told Scott here, I can see what we need. I don't know the tools necessary to get there, and I don't have the bandwidth to get there. So I'm. You know, this is great to have there. The one thing that the marketing firm did talk about is, what's the story? What's the messaging? What do we want to be able to get out there? And into that piece is, what's the priority scheme of what we want? And you know, Pat, that's going to rely on Pat and the Colonel to help it needs to be reprioritizing that, and then going from there. And if it's a parking lot that's first, then a gymnasium or a Miller Science Building or X or Y or Z, that's part of the plan, and you develop. That's the story that we're doing. We want to grow the campus to be X, and here's phase one, phase two, phase three.
Yeah. So can I
hang on.
I saw Hanzi, then Pat.
Why don't you go, Pat, because you may have the same thing.
Well, because what we were always talking about was first was, well, thinking ahead, we thought about a drill hall. We kind of got the swagger hall, kind of, you know, helps out not what we wanted, but it serves a purpose. We got the field. We can cover this out here with the parking lot,
yep,
and dropping the farmhouse. Well, the next project down the line is the gymnasium or drill hall. But the hardest part, Dennis, when we started looking at that project, is the ground. And Dave McGuigan always said it best. He said, well, the ground's great. It's historic, but it's probably one of the worst pieces of property that you ever bought, because anytime you want to build on it, the infrastructure part is going to cost you. And as we start talking about doing the gym, and then just now we have to do the parking lot around it, we got to build a road in here, we got to get these light poles and these telephone, we got to do all this stuff to get there ready. But it was the drill hole. Even Dennis, if we just had a facility where, you know, actually we could, you know, we don't even need a big rows of bleachers, but we need just something where we can house the whole student body in one area. Well, we can now in our drill hall, but we're tight in there. and to actually have home events, because one of the ideas of having the field was to build a sense of community, to have our own place to play, to have our own place to compete and do things. Because let's face it, you know, we talk about our, we want our kids to stay after school and just be a part of their community. But yeah, with that, the gym has always been the thing.
The models we built showed that you can break even about 300 cadets, okay? Now this was, I mean, I built them almost 10 years ago, but at 600 cadets, you stay in the other bay, you make a lot of money. I mean, I'm sorry, of course, but, you know, you start throwing off a lot of contribution to overhead, I guess they call it, in the nonprofit. So my question is, how do we go from 462 to 600 as fast as possible? What is the roadblock?
Well, we move in space.
Yeah, the roadblock is the infrastructure.
Classroom?
Yeah, it's classroom, it'll be parking lots, it's a number of pieces like that, but no question, classroom is the biggest stumbling block if we were to try to go much beyond the 472.
How much of the bottleneck is the parking lot?
It's a good bottleneck. It's a problem.
How many parking spaces do you need compared to what you have?
We probably need another 50 or more. I mean, I'm going to look at Kevin, but easily 50 or more.
We can't hold any events here. If we do, we have to keep people back to teach them how to teach them where to park. Not a big deal. We utilize PCA as much as we can. They work with us. We also have parents that just park out in town. So
yeah, just walk in.
But if you were to recruit an extra 130 cadets, okay. Would that strain the parking lot, or would that strain
the
classroom?
Half of them.
It's already strained, Dennis.
Yeah.
So that is the bottleneck.
It's one of the bottlenecks.
But isn't that the cheapest one to fix? Because you don't need the sprinkler system and the heating and the foundation.
Right. So.
Well, and that goes to exactly why we're going to hopefully get done internally. We may have to raise some money, but hopefully not a lot. But that's why that farmhouse, we're going to do a maintenance building, get everything that's in it out, put it in that thing gets burned down or pushed into a hole, and the parking lot goes that way. So we've got plans to kind of pull the trigger on that. It really is the division piece. It's the bigger piece about that if we did get to 600, what do we need? And we need a classroom building, and we're going to need a gymnasium, a small gymnasium / drill hole or whatever. But and they're expensive stuff. That's expensive stuff. $1 million starts us on our way, I think. I'm sorry, Hans, you?
No, I was going to say it sounds like a whole committee's worth of work.
Oh yeah.
But it sounds great. It sounds excellent.
Well, so just to ping on what Jim had talked about, we've been down this road twice.
Okay.
We have a fair amount of documents that Dennis, I probably ought to share with you. We ought to go to lunch or have you come to the office, and I'll lay it out. Jim, if you want to come down.
Sure.
And we'll have lunch, and I will lay out all the work that's been done. I think it does give us a fairly good roadmap, but what has been missing and what Leslie is talking about now is that final piece. It's that story piece. It's that document. It's that leave behind. It's whatever you want to call it. It's that final piece of here it is with pictures and whatever, and it's the packet, so that when we hand it to you, you can walk into your buddy's office in PA and go, dude, I got to talk to you about these guys. This is the leave behind. This is the package. And when can you get your butt down to see the school? Because I'm all in. It's that kind of thing. That someone of your stature is able to kick the door in, and we flow in right behind you. We do the ask. We do the sell. But you're kicking in some doors for us, hopefully or potentially, depending on what role you wanna take. But that in essence is where I am.
Well, I'm just a financier. How's that? Okay. I really am terrible at running things. Okay. I hire people to run things. I avoid that if at all possible.
Okay. We'll run it.
I shouldn't say I hire people. I partner with people who are much better at that than I am. Listen, I've taken up too much of your time. Jim, can I ask you one question about the finance? I couldn't quickly calculate cash flow. Do we have cash flow problems or anything?
Today, no, I don't believe there's any problems with cash flow. You were funded, preloaded, funded up heavy. So also understand I'm on GAAP basis rather than the government base. So understanding the two differences and nuances is still a challenge relative to the financial reports that come out from the wonderful accountants. I keep asking the questions about where it stands. But from a cash basis, they are certainly stronger cash basis now than they were before. Yeah. They have when Pat talked about the carryover of $1 million, I'm going to equate that to $1 million of cash, because you've got the revenues are in there and the expenses were running lighter than that. Diving into it all the way, you've got some cash there. In the board accounts, you've got the cash there to be able to preload the mortgage and interest payments for a year to come out of the board's account rather than having USDA go directly into the piece shows that you have some stable cash basis from that standpoint. In terms of, we've got 60 plus days cash. We are 60 plus days cash.
Oh, we do right now.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. I think we made it to 75 last year.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I know you guys have to get on to your executive bench.
Dennis, going back to the piece, and I was pulling up the thing there. So, Scott, when we were doing it with that organization that I brought to the table, the total nugget from 2017, end of 2017, and of course 2018 was $9.5 million, of which $4.5 million was a gymnasium, $2 million was a new stadium, new building, and $2 million for a stadium, 550 parking lots, and those are numbers we were pulling out. The other pieces were dual classrooms and some of the stuff that we've already tackled in athletic fields. So of the 9.4, 4.8, 6.8, roughly $8.5 million is not touched at this point in time, because the other pieces out there, actually the farmhouse is in there too, but the drill hall has been addressed, classroom pieces have been addressed, that's there's probably been $400,000 that's out there, so we've got $9 million that hasn't been touched. I'll have to rephrase that, $9 million hasn't been touched from the estimate that we put together 2+ years ago.
Yeah, and I've got all that in folders and stuff. So whatever you think, Dennis, next step, if you want to come to get to the office.
Well, let me call you and can I get everybody's email address, okay? So that, we can chat via emails, okay? Better effect. I just lost a bunch of money in China, thanks to what's going on. And so I guess I've officially retired, at least according to my wife. So,
well, let's not tell her anything.
Yeah. No. I'd be happy to come as often as you'll have me. And I mean this sincerely.
Thank you very much for coming.
Yeah.
You're very welcome. I'm more than welcome. It's my privilege and honor. Thank you.
All right, cool. Anything else on this subject? Leslie, thank you. I think we're going to maybe see something. Hit. All right, Kev, I think we're you, boss.
Yeah, you're talking about the parking lot and stuff.
Oh, sorry.
Of course, we have a lot of some stones and things that we can start with and stuff. The next up project is going to be the pavers out here in the front, and I've talked to Reggie earlier today, and he'll brief us on that. But
okay.
It's nearing in the next 3 weeks.
Oh, wonderful!
So,
yay!
Within the month, anyway. So, Reggie, if you want to.
Yeah, we're trying to get this thing jump started here because COVID hit and all this other craziness. And Kevin got extremely busy. Jason got extremely busy with the brick doctor, and I started pushing buttons in the last month saying, "Hey, we gotta get something done here. I don't want to see Eric Long right now until we get something moving."
Right.
That, and then Larry approached me at the
induction day.
And I already had it set up. They were going to drop my backhoe off here from my old company's backhoe on Friday.
Yeah, whose backhoe is it?
Just because it's got a big bucket. And
right.
I wanted to get the stone moved because it's having a problem with parking with the staff and teachers and everything. So.
And you all remember the stone hookup. Speaking of, real quick, before I forget, Connie, what's going on? Anything new there with him and the dirt?
As soon as I asked him if the dirt was at no charge due to the proximity, I didn't hear anything after that. So,
all right.
And then come to find out, I'm fairly certain he was looking to sell the dirt.
Okay.
So
all right, well, ping him again. You might as well just ping him again and say, "I'm just checking in."
We're not buying dirt to store it.
That's right. Got it.
So anyway, I talked to Larry again today, and I'm not going to come up this weekend and move all that stone because we're only moving it 50 yards, and then we got to move it again. So I asked them if they can deal with it for by the 15th of October. I think we should be well underway. The only downside to that is, Pat, you guys are going to just have to work around us because
we're
liable to get some areas dug up, because that's actually what happened. I was getting to the point where we're going to have to just start doing it, and if we get an open area, we'll have to tape it off.
We will adapt.
Mid-October, we are going to be putting pavers in.
Oh, that's cool.
So
wonderful.
And I think they, Jason and Kevin, I think may have already met with Pat as to what area they're going to do first. And
okay.
So forth. So that's where we're at on all that.
Wonderful.
I do think we need to get something off to E.P. Henry.
You tell me if you want to know.
I kind of put it off because I
There's nothing to report.
I just wanted. Maybe something from.
Do you want to do a groundbreaking or something and take some pictures?
Yeah,
and stuff?
That's fine too. But I just want to get something off to him and say, "Hey, you know, we really appreciate
see
what
her
you
over
do.
There.
It's been all these issues going on that has held everything up."
Right, let's do a groundbreaking, man. If they put in some. Yeah, you know, they're starting to cut soil. I'd love to have a couple of pictures and send up.
I mean, we could do that too.
Okay. Cool.
Maybe I'll even offer to go get them or something. I'll take my little winged thing and go get them. He'd probably like that and bring them down.
Well, absolutely. Whatever.
Is there like one of the stones that has like donated by, or is there anything that we can put?
No, we could do that though. We can get one engraved.
That would be nice.
I don't know if the only thing I dislike about them is it's it's just this little thing.
I know.
Before about trying to do something for them. I think maybe we. I'd like to.
When it's completed, Leslie, I'm thinking more like. I don't know if we've got a wall plaque or a concrete plaque that's set in the soil next to one of the pathways that's near the front.
Mm-hmm.
We just set it right there, and it's like this big.
Much bigger than
the
little stones.
Yeah.
So and not just for Henry. I think Jason,
absolutely.
I talk into it, but it's like Kevin said, you're probably talking this close to $100,000 donation between
absolutely.
The pavers and the install and everything else.
Absolutely.
You got that rock sitting right out there that would be perfect for a nice little plaque on it.
What rock?
That rock that sits right out there.
Oh yeah,
rock.
The one right here.
Yeah.
Yep, I know.
And then everybody coming in sees it. It's right there.
Yep.
You put something on it.
I want to get something off it in the very near future to E.P. Henry. Just say,
well, just coordinate with Leslie.
We haven't forgotten. We really appreciate what you did. Just everything happened,
and we might even want to get like placement on our website, so that, you know, just like almost
absolutely.
Like a mini ad to say thanks for this, and then like if you eventually like, you know, as soon as our parents, who knows, might want to.
We had the banner done for the sports thing, and now we haven't had the sports. So
yeah.
But yeah, I think we were putting it up in the at the football field when we were doing
something. We did.
Yeah, because that was it's like you said, the day he came down and we went from 3,500 to 6,500 square feet. He never even said anything.
Yeah, he didn't even blink. It was incredible. Kev, I think if you want to do a timeline, start, finish, let's go ahead and start really thinking about doing this, pulling the trigger, because I've asked Pat the pool, 100 out of the general operating, and I think I'm going to be able to secure a pretty good donation for the school. So I think we're going to be in the $150, the $160 range to get it all done. No. So you might want to put a timeline.
Start on the permits.
And the burn ban, that's over soon, right?
Mm-hmm. If not,
October or something.
Okay,
cool. All right, Dennis, thank you. We only got a couple more items to hit. How are we doing on Zoom? The ladies still with us?
They're there.
All right, good, good. All right, so I think we've covered everything.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you, Dennis.
Thank you. Dennis, good seeing you. I will call you and talk, sir.
See you, Dennis.
All right, I think I only got a couple more items to hit. VW, are you there, Chief? You want to hit the bylaws? Yes, ma'am.
Perfect. So I distributed the bylaws today. The only thing that has changed since I believe the June or July version that we had looked at involves that one sentence, which we're happy to include. Obviously, our bylaws will, the state laws and regulations and state of emergency guidance will always trump our bylaws, but I think referencing it in terms of how we can conduct meetings is clean. So I left it broad. Obviously, the state laws, regulations, and guidance can always change, so there's no need to be any more specific than we are. But that's the only change that was made.
Cool. All right, so we've got... hey, Verity, note the approval date lines that are in the bottom of the bylaws. They all have to change to today's date.
Yeah, and I will clean up some of the formatting. Every time I edit it, it changes. So I'll save it as a PDF when I'm done.
All right, cool. All right, so guys, the bylaws have been with us for years now. The drafting and editing and so on and so forth. Do I have any additional thoughts or questions about the bylaws that have been presented, including the one statement that Verity had just sent out? Nope. Oh, somebody make a motion, quick.
Motion, sorry.
All right. I have a motion to accept the bylaws as presented.
With those small modifications.
Yeah, right. I include, when I, as presented, I'm including that
yes, sir.
Piece to it. Motion, bylaws as presented. Do I have a second?
Second.
I got a second. Any further discussion, VW?
No, I mean, I just think for Katie's sake, since she just recently joined us, Katie, I just updated the bylaws that hadn't been updated since the school began. So we took out a lot of the founding language that was no longer necessary, and we kind of cleaned up some of the other aspects. But nothing procedurally, nothing major is changing.
Okay. Yeah, I took a look at them, and I didn't know if anything had changed, but thank you.
Cool. All right, very well. Seeing no further discussion, all in favor of approving the bylaws on this date and time, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Abstentions? Seeing none? Passed. Yay. Very exciting. Okay. I think, guys, we have to go to executive session. So he's out. I guess we're good.
Unless you go to executive session.
All right. Hang on to me. I've got to do a couple of technical things here. All right, guys, we are going. I have a motion to go to executive session to discuss personnel matters at 1922. I have a motion. I do have a second. Do I have all in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Abstentions? Seeing none, passed at 1934. We are back into the regular board meeting. Do I have a motion to approve the hiring of the two individuals as noted, Natasha Morris and Megan Erickson?
Motion.
All right. I got, I think, a
motion.
A motion over there.
Yes, sorry.
I'm not sure what the heck that was. And I've got a second. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions? Seeing none, passed. All right, guys. I think we are just about done. I don't have anything else on my agenda. So let me whip around the room. We'll go to my right. Always good seeing you, Chris.
Nothing.
You holding up out there, baby?
Good.
Good.
All right, Colonel.
I'm good, sir.
Thank you. Commandant.
Hey.
Zoomers. Verity, anything?
I'm good, thank you, though.
All right, Katie.
I'm good.
Very well, cool. Jimmy.
Good. Thank you, Colonel. Pat and staff for all the efforts that you've done so far and continue to do.
Oh, and I forgot Stacy. She
still Stacy's there too.
She's here asking.
Stace, anything? I'm sorry, I missed your closing.
No, I'm good. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Cool.
Good job getting her up and running.
Yeah, ma'am.
Nothing. I just need CBOC agenda and minutes for September.
I got it.
Got it.
All good.
Good.
All right, cool. All right, seeing nothing else before us, thank you for the long meeting, but hopefully informative. We got some things done. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
Motion.
I got a motion. Second.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Pass. We are adjourned. It's really about